We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
On today's episode, an early look at the Big Ten schedule.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Boys and Girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. That fine gentleman over there is always the illustrious Dan Rubenstein. Sir, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. And may I say, Ty, it's not truly college football conversation off-season time until you look forward and say, I guess I have to formulate some sort of vague opinion of Indiana football in order to do this Big Ten schedule preview. So there's that.
I actually have a fair amount of Indiana opinions this year. I was surprised by that.
Good. I was holding off until the time to actually preview the Big Ten and not the schedule preview. But I guess I got to muster up something.
Yeah, just drizzle a few in there. Mm-hmm. Hello, welcome back. I'm Ty. He's Dan. We are the Solid Verbal. If you listen to our last episode, we preview the 2023 SEC college football schedule. We are working our way through all of the Power Five conferences. We even got a group of five show that we're going to just bolt on to the very end of this series that we're doing. Today, it is Big Ten Day here on the pod. We've got native Big Ten son Dan Rubenstein joining us here. Talking through all things, of course, Northwestern football, the deep dive, all 12 games, start to finish. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow on your podcasting app of choice. Follow along on social media and YouTube. And if you're interested in further supporting what we do, going out to verballers.com. That is our Patreon, verballers.com. We've got all sorts of fun stuff in the works. Mr. Rubenstein, what are your impressions of the Big Ten slate as a whole? You know, we're going to go through and do the deep dive and which schedules are hardest and easiest and trappiest and gumpiest and
right.
Other words that we will make up inevitably throughout the course of the next 60 odd minutes or so. But what's your take on this thing? Just looking at the way that they set this up.
It was a... Because we have the Michael Scott sound, which I think we'll play during when we look at some bye weeks of who needs to carbo load ahead of a run of good teams after bye weeks. The thing that struck me was there are stretches, like for instance, this is, and we'll talk more about Purdue at some point, but Purdue could start 0-4 or 4-0.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the sheer number of new coaches and new full-time starting quarterbacks or newness within the conference, whether it's Wisconsin, Nebraska, Purdue, or a team that is looking to get better and showed flashes at the end of last year. And obviously Michigan State starting over with a new full-time starting quarterback, Ohio State. That battle's going into the fall with what, Devin Brown and Kyle McCord. That there is so much that even if we believe a team like Ohio State is what we will continue to see from them, whatever, that you know, maybe they're a 10-2 Ohio State team or an 11-1 team and not a 12-0 team because there's so much new and unknown about some combination of head coach and quarterback within this conference. It's wild.
Yeah, it really is. On the whole, not a lot of stretches in here that frighten me the way that I think we saw when we talked about the SEC schedule, at least not for the teams that we expect to be leading the pack. And we can discuss that in a little bit more detail as we go through this. It also may be assumed at this point, but I feel very confident in looking over this that we're going to have a playoff team come out of the Big Ten. I guess that's not always a given. It's somewhat of a given in the SEC. We've seen it every year, but the Big Ten, I feel really good about any one of maybe two or three teams having a legit shot in the schedule, putting them in a good position to do that, to move forward.
Sure.
Give me the Tecmo Bowl, Sen. Let's dive in. All the Big Ten teams, Dan, before us on this matrix, which I will post in image form linked up to this episode. So you can follow along. You have a nice little visual aid. It is difficult when you're relying entirely on theater of the mind to go through these things. You can see it with your own eyes. Which schedule do you want to start out with? Which one rises to the top for you as being interesting or hard or tough or trappy or gumpy or whatever?
The one that is wall to wall flimsy. Michigan, your reigning champs.
I pulled the treasure sound just for Michigan, Dan.
Yeah.
Their over under is 10.5. Why do you feel it's flimsy?
Well, I mean, they scheduled nobody. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and then obviously Rutgers is part of the Big Ten slate, but that is a September to remember tie.
you could not ask for a more ideal schedule. If you're Michigan, you've got road games at Nebraska, at Minnesota, at Michigan State, and at Penn State. The Penn State game will actually be very difficult. We know that. We expect that. The Michigan State game's rivalry. They play at Maryland. Maryland's sort of a sandwich game in between Penn State and Ohio State. So, you know, maybe some weirdness there. There has been Maryland weirdness as fairly recently here for the Michigan Wolverines. But by and large, I came away feeling like, yeah, this is one of the three easiest slates that I saw in the Big Ten.
Yeah, there's also no second tier danger because no Iowa or Wisconsin, correct?
Correct.
On this Michigan schedule.
Correct.
So that sort of opens things up a little bit, I'd say. When you look at their schedule, their Big Ten slate, in terms of whatever you feel about the Rutgers quarterback situation, I think it's Gavin Wimsatt, who is the lone returning guy healthy right now. Depending on how you feel about that, the combination of experienced head coaches in this conference and returning starting quarterback. So do they have anybody between now and Maryland? Right? So Penn State, I know you're very high on Drew Aller. That's fine. But new full-time starting quarterback, Ohio State, new full-time starting quarterback. It's all new on this schedule. Minnesota, new, even though your guy, the Greek Freak, started a bunch last year and played a bunch last year. Nebraska, new everything. Indiana, full-time, new-ish everything. They make changes on the coaching staff. Michigan State, new full-time quarterback. Purdue, Hudson Card, new head coach. Like, everything is new. And maybe that works against Michigan on some level, that they have to prepare for the unknown perhaps more than other teams, but they're probably roster-wise in the best possible position to have to prepare for the unknown. So I'm not going to say it's easy, because they still finished with Penn State and Ohio State 2 out of 3 weeks to finish the year. But in terms of how you could, as an architect, piece together this schedule, I don't think anybody has a bye before Michigan that's any sort of threat. It's just perfect. It's beautiful.
It is. It's a treasure.
Treasure!
It really is. Yeah. It's a national treasure. It's a Big Ten treasure. If you're a Michigan Wolverine fan, you got to feel pretty good about the way this thing is set up. It toughens up the deeper you get into this thing, right? I mean, relatively speaking, by the time you get to late November with the rivalry and then Penn State 2 weeks prior on the road, like, that will be a difficult stretch if there is one in here. But I feel really good about Michigan's chances here. Really, really good about Michigan's chances here.
If there were to be a trap situation, I have it as at Minnesota a week after at Nebraska. So you have two straight road games. That's as dramatic as I can find in the look ahead sandwich.
Maryland.
No. Minnesota's after Nebraska. Right. Early.
I'm saying Maryland is the one that I looked at.
I have that as the letdown look at, obviously, between Penn State and Ohio State. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That game could be a little bit dicey, but by and large, I feel good.
And that was a game last year against Michigan.
Yeah. It was. Talk about Ohio State.
Let's.
Ohio State also a 10.5 over under. I think this is a challenging schedule. I've got this jotted down as my most interesting schedule, also one of the hardest in the Big Ten. Okay. And it's all relative, right? Everything's relative as we're talking through. What's hard for Nebraska, what's hard for Northwestern, in a lot of cases is probably not hard for Ohio State. But Ohio State's got, I think, a very, very challenging slate here. They've got road games at Notre Dame, at Wisconsin, and at Michigan, right? Those are not easy places to play. Some trappiness in here, also going to Purdue a week before playing at home against Penn State. They're home against Minnesota a week before going to Michigan in a game that, who knows, could have some weirdness to it.
Yep.
But Ohio State scheduled this thing in such way that they've got that Notre Dame game early, end of September-ish, which I think will be a nice test for them. Just with the way that their home road splits shake out, it doesn't seem like this is going to be kind of season for the Buckeyes where we get to mid-November and say, I didn't play anybody. That will not be the case for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's backloaded for sure with the at Purdue, at Wisconsin, at Michigan, and then having Michigan State and Minnesota, even though that's at home before Michigan. It's a run of quality teams to finish out the year, just like Michigan
has. Not Fettuccine Alfredo, though. I don't think Fettuccine
Alfredo. Not Fettuccine, because it's Maryland-Purdue right after the bye week when they're carbo loading. And the good thing about where the bye falls, it's right after Notre Dame, correct?
Correct.
So the Ohio State defensive backs will have time to rest their hands from catching all the Sam Hartman passes.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You get that sort of relief in there to prepare for the tougher back end.
Be wearing oven mitts that entire bye week to just rest the palms. Yeah.
You have to. So, no, Ohio State's schedule is really nice. They're figuring out because Devin Brown was it a finger injury during the spring?
No.
And he couldn't really compete. And so it was Kyle McCord who had made some throws in the spring game, but by no means was the walk away clear guy after spring. So Ohio State has its work cut out for it. But schedule-wise, yeah, you're right about the back half. Having Purdue, Penn State, Wisconsin right there, it's a meaty middle for Ohio State. You can play that sandwich if you want because it's a meaty middle.
You like this one? This is a new sandwich.
Of course.
That's a light job sandwich. I mean, really like a dynamite, legit sandwich.
Little Guy Fieri up in here.
By the way, just in terms of Michigan-Ohio State, because I mentioned it with Michigan, Indiana has a bye before Michigan, and the bye before Ohio State is Rutgers. Mm. So maybe an accident, Ty. Maybe an accident that the Big Ten was like, let's not make things too difficult for Michigan and Ohio State. And one team and one team only in this conference. And I know it's cyclical. I know scheduling, you know, rotates and how they, you know, one team might get a little bit screwed one year, then it's another team the next year. There's only one team that has three opponents who have a bye before playing it. My Northwestern Wildcats.
Northwestern.
They play three teams who have a bye before playing Northwestern.
No rest for the weary.
Most teams have either one or two. Only a couple have two. And Michigan and Ohio State have one each, and it's Indiana and Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State's schedule, I think we would both agree, definitely more challenging than Michigan's. Still set up pretty well. And again, because it's relative, you got to kind of factor all that stuff in. It's a tough schedule. Tough schedule, tougher than Michigan's, but still sets up in a way that doesn't feel too overwhelming for the Buckeyes. I get the 10.5 over-under completely.
And to be clear, whoever the quarterback is, Kyle McCord, Devin Brown, if they are indeed continuing the Ohio State legit awesome quarterback run in this moment, they'll be great.
They'll be great.
Yeah. Look, the end of the schedule is going to be tough. And, you know, Notre Dame and Penn State, and this is probably the most talented Penn State team of the modern era of the last few years anyway. Yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. There's a lot there. A lot of firepower there.
Yeah.
Ohio State will still likely, because Penn State is coming to Columbus, it'll be fine if the quarterback situation is pretty stellar.
Let's go to Penn State.
Okay.
Let's go to my Nits. 9.5 over under. You could not ask for a better schedule if you're a Penn Stater.
Okay.
You could not ask for a better schedule. You've got no torrid run of games here. You've got no back-to-back road games. You're at Ohio State in week 8. That will be difficult. Home against Michigan. a couple weeks later in week 11. Obviously, that will be very difficult. There is a stretch early on that I would describe as extremely Penn State. And if you're watching the video, you see I'm wincing when I say extremely Penn State.
Okay.
Where they're at Illinois, home against Iowa for the whiteout game, we found out. And then back on the road again against Northwestern before a bye week. Penn State is absolutely not above losing one of those games.
Okay? No.
It does not present as being overly zealous, overly ambitious, overly difficult by any stretch of the imagination. Penn State could absolutely lose one of those. At a minimum, I guarantee you at least one weird, wild, frustrating game somewhere in that span. It will happen. Again, it is Illinois. It is Iowa. It is Northwestern before a bye week. So I could see that happening. And we know about the two other big landmines on this schedule. Otherwise, I'm just saying it sets up pretty well for them. I don't know where they're going to be at with Drew Aller by the time Ohio State rolls around in week 8. They'll have plenty of opportunities to break him in here.
Sure.
I don't know where they'll be in week 4 when Iowa comes to town for the whiteout. There are a bunch of ifs, but there is a lot of firepower. There is a lot of reason for optimism here. If you're a Penn State fan, I understand the optimism. 9.5 feels like it's a really good number, really strong number on the Vegas side of things.
You didn't even refer to Don Brown and UMass blitzing the hell out of Drew Aller right after the bye week, Ty.
I did not.
Yeah, the schedule is pretty good. I like the schedule for Penn State, and it definitely, after, if Illinois keeps it up on defense without Ryan Walters, and they're obviously down a couple of huge players, one of whom was drafted, in the top 5?
Yeah.
Devin Witherspoon at corner.
Yep.
If Illinois keeps it up and is at least kind of threatening on defense, and that's in Champaign, and then Iowa. Look, there are windy days in Evanston sometimes. We saw it with Ohio State. That could certainly be. It could. There's like a 24% chance that that's 10-3 Northwestern at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pulling your hair out. And in Penn State. The
Northwestern game's always weird. It's all, whenever they go to Evanston, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. That's not to say they're losing all the time. I'm just saying there's always a fair amount of weirdness there at Ryan.
You can come on out, Ty. We can make pizza. We can tailgate.
What is
go
that?
To the game?
At the end of September?
Yeah, it's pretty nice here.
We could maybe do that.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, Penn State's schedule is nice, especially, you know, getting Michigan at home, and they destroyed Maryland last year, correct?
It's
like 30-0.
Killed
and them. Then finishing out with Rutgers, and look, maybe it's a surprise revelation of a Michigan State season, but certainly it feels like the right time to head to East Lansing. Maybe, yes?
Yeah, no.
No, I like that. If Drew Aller is B plus A minus, they'll win double digits.
They'll win double digits. They'll hit that over. Yeah. Okay. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to, I guess our moratorium is up. Want to talk Iowa football and the quest for 25, the drive for 25? I don't know. We can talk a new coach. We can talk Wisconsin, Nebraska, whoever.
Let's do the Iowa theme. The sabbatical has expired now.
Yeah.
We have to get down to brass tacks. I've got Iowa listed as one of my most interesting schedules alongside Ohio State. And I think it's because of that drive to 25.
Okay.
I think it's because of the Brian Ferentz drive to 25 points a game. This Iowa schedule, give me one word. One word, if
sure.
you're describing it, that comes to
Deese.
Mind.
Deese.
Yeah?
That's what I have. Yeah. It's at Penn State. The schedule features them going to Penn State, but no Michigan, Ohio State, and maybe, depending on your viewpoint, a couple buffers before they travel to Wisconsin.
Buffer
they only have
zone.
Four. There it is.
Sorry.
Only, if I'm counting correctly, only 4 true road games because they play Northwestern at Wrigley.
Yep.
Get your tickets now, folks. Plenty of good seats still available. I have no idea.
The energy will just be beaming out of
Maybe,
Wrigley
look,
Field.
If I'm an Iowa fan, to watch the Hawks and Wrigley, that's a pretty cool option. So
sure.
I'd take life up on that option. And it's maybe, depending on your viewpoint, a good year to be at Nebraska in the Heroes game, the Heroes Trophy. So I think it's decent. I think it's decent if we are to believe Cade McNamara is a decent quarterback and they've upgraded at a couple of positions on offense. You know, tight end, receiver, certainly the rooms look better if healthy right now. I'd put it at dece. That's the word I'm looking at. That there is a decent shot for Iowa to jump up offensively. If you're just looking from a talent perspective and not necessarily a Sun perspective, my word is dece for this Iowa schedule.
My word is post. post, and I will explain why in a second. But I think you're right to point out that there's only four true road games at Iowa State for the Cy-Hawk game, at Penn State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska. Look, those aren't necessarily the easiest of games to have on the road, but they're the only four true road games. And there are competing schools of thought. Do you want the hardest games on the road? Do you want the hardest games at home? Those are the four hardest games in the schedule, in my view. And they're all on the road. And so if you're an Iowa fan, you've got them circled. Decent buffers. It's not like there's a run of games here that I think should frighten you.
Yeah.
The reason I say post, though, is because I feel like we do this show every year and we talk about Iowa and we try to piece it together. Okay, where are the tough games? Where are the hard games? Are they in Iowa City? Are they on the road? Are they in Columbus? I think it's time we came to the understanding that Iowa may be living in a post-schedule reality. Like, does the schedule really even matter?
I like this.
When we talk about Iowa. Or is it truly just a social construct that we rely upon towards the end of every May in the off season to get us through another week of content? Because truly, which matters to you more when you talk about Iowa? Is it the schedule or is it the damn offense? Or how much the defense is going to carry the offense? Which matters more when we're trying to figure out Iowa's success?
I mean, I like that you're viewing this through a ninth grade English class lens where it's not man versus man, it's man versus self.
That's right.
It's man versus nature. It's man versus beast. Though. Yeah. No, this is good. This is good. No, you're absolutely right. Right? If Iowa's offense is merely disappointing.
Yeah.
Merely disappointing, but if not it's merely historically disappointing, atrocious.
If it's merely disappointing, they win at least two of those four games that we talked about on the road.
Sure.
They probably have a dumb one at home against Purdue or Michigan State or something.
Well, they always lose to Northwestern, and now they're playing in Wrigley.
Now they're playing in Wrigley. I don't know. They probably have a dumb one along the way. But the reason that this is all very interesting to me is the over-under is 7.5 for Iowa, which feels extraordinarily low. I'm in.
Bye.
I'm in on Iowa. I'm in on Iowa in the over at 7.5 because you know the defense will be good. I have to imagine the offense had like it can't get any worse. It literally can't get any worse. So it's got to get a little bit better. And like you said, even if it's just disappointing, if it's disappointing, they go 2-4 in that stretch. Those tough road games.
If they have a merely disappointing offense, they'll beat Utah State, Iowa State, Western Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Minnesota, maybe Wisconsin, maybe. Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, and probably Nebraska. So nine wins
post schedule. The schedule doesn't even matter. Throw the schedule out.
Yeah. But that's just the big if. You have to be a believer. And look, the defense took some hits in the portal. I still think they're going to be really good. It's just what they do. Look, they made a bowl game last year. It wasn't a great bowl game, but they made a bowl game last year with no offense. So imagine what merely disappointing buys you.
Let's go to Wisconsin, Dan.
Sure.
New coach. Over under 9 wins. So we've been doing this since sitting back in my chair here to do the math. 2008, 15 seasons we've done this show.
Yep.
I can't remember many instances where a new coach was stepping foot on campus. In the case of Luke Fickell, he coached the damn bowl game. So first off, I don't remember that ever happening. But secondly, I also don't remember a scenario in which new coach, new team, new campus, the over-under is 9 going into the next season. This is one of the easiest schedules in the Big Ten, if not the easiest. Certainly the easiest road schedule.
Yeah.
From my standpoint. It is hard to know exactly where Wisconsin's going to be because of the new coach and the transfers and all the uncertainty that comes with turning a program over in the manner that they did. I don't want to undersell that. But it does tell you everything that you need to know that the over-under is 9. Vegas feels pretty good about this. The only team I'm scared of on the schedule is Ohio State, and that game's in Madison. The road schedule is at Wazoo week 2, which, okay, that could be a little weird. It always is weird up in the Palouse. There's a Friday night game at Purdue, at Illinois, at Indiana, at Minnesota the last week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy? It's hard to do better than that, is it not?
It is. I didn't love that the reports out of spring were like Tanner Mordecai was not necessarily it all the time.
Yeah.
So that worries me a little bit. Schedule-wise, I love it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of buffers in here. It's a lot of new coaches, new quarterbacks. I mean, buffer like we talked zone. About at the top of the show. Thank you. So, I mean, we haven't even spoken about Illinois, but we've mentioned Illinois a few times on here as being a threat. But you're talking about, what, Tommy DeVito, Art Sikowski, Illinois?
King Arthur to the uninitiated, but sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wisconsin could start the season. They could be undefeated against Ohio State. They absolutely could be, right? That's what, 7-0?
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
They could be
7-0.
They could be 4-3. Look, if Purdue's decent, it's at Purdue on a Friday night. So, I mean, it's after Georgia Southern, but it's short week rest. At Wazoo, weird, but Wazoo lost a ton. Coaching turnover, there's just a lot new in the Palouse, and they're traveling there, and that's not going to be an easy trip, and they already lost that game at home. Back out of the schedule is pretty great, though. Depending on how you feel, I guess, about Nebraska, to go Illinois, Ohio State, but it's at home, so they miss Michigan and Penn State, at Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, at Minnesota, and while I said it was a nice year, or I haven't said that yet because we haven't talked about Minnesota, but nice year to have Minnesota host Wisconsin, because even though Wisconsin essentially always wins that game, games in Minneapolis and Wisconsin starting over, so I'm a big fan of Wisconsin's schedule if Tanner Mordecai is pretty good, because I think the defense will jump up. I think a lot was lost just in the lack of faith in the offense last year, even with Braylon Allen. So I think Wisconsin's going to be in a better place. It's just to me, like, is it too much to expect year one?
Nine's a lot. I don't think I'd want to touch that over under.
Yeah.
I certainly will not be adding it to my list of over under picks.
Yep.
But I do think it's important context here. The fact that Vegas thinks that is some validation that this is not only an easy schedule, but probably a pretty good Wisconsin team. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of a step back with Luke Fickell taking over. The reason that they brought him in was to try and modernize this thing and move it forward on the recruiting side of things, certainly on the offensive side of things. He's always been a good defensive coach, right? They're looking at this as an incremental improvement. And so maybe it's not a surprise to people who are Wisconsin fans who follow the program more intently that Vegas has such high expectations, but the schedule definitely puts them in a situation where they can get there. I don't think there's any two ways about that.
Should also add, Wisconsin gets Ohio State a week after Ohio State plays Penn State.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep. Yep.
And they play Minnesota in the rivalry game, Paul Bunyan's axe. They get Minnesota a week after Minnesota is at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin could be the beneficiary of a couple of nice spots there. Body blow theory, if you're a believer at all. So that's interesting.
Let's go to Minnesota, actually. I talked about the schedule when we did the Minnesota deep dive, when we were talking about what it's going to take to get them to 10. Their over-under is 6.5. They've got four of the toughest Big Ten teams on their schedule. They've got Michigan. They go to Iowa and Ohio State. And they've got Wisconsin. In addition to that, they've also got a non-con game against North Carolina.
Yes.
In week three, that game is in Chapel Hill as well. So if we're comparing Minnesota heads up against last season, this schedule is an order of magnitude more difficult. It's not even close. Last year, I'm disappointed in last year. I think I made that pretty well known. I'm disappointed because last year was the year to get the 10 wins. I ain't getting a 10 wins this year. It's not going to happen. What I don't know is, they are trying to revitalize the offense. They've got a brand new play caller. They've got a new full-time starter in Athan Kaliakmanis, Greek Freak, as he's known on the show here.
Yeah.
They supposedly want to air it out more. Athan Kaliakmanis has a 4-star coming in. I don't know to what degree he'll be able to live up to that promise. I don't know to what degree they're going to be able to open up this offense and not just be about offensive linemen and running the football 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I don't know, frankly, to what end they're going to be able to accomplish any of those goals. But this to me strikes me as a difficult schedule to certainly get the 10 wins. 6.5, we can have a conversation, but it just seems like Minnesota is in put up or shut up territory. Now they've got some testers here that they're going to have to deal with. We will see exactly how far PJ Fleck has brought this program.
Play me that Forrest Gump sound, Ty.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have what could be the first overall pick in the NFL draft in what, week two? And Drake May, depending on how NFL people view week three, excuse me, Drake May and Caleb Williams. Okay, so that's pretty high profile, right?
Yep. We'll get,
people will be watching Drake May more than ever this coming year, no matter what North Carolina is. They miss Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers. I'm not going to say those are low profile places because I think, I happen to think Maryland should be pretty good this year, but in terms of interest in those teams relative to the rest of the Big Ten, I'd say it's on the lower end, right?
I would agree with that. You're being artful in the way that you describe this.
I'm being artful.
Rutgers is terrible. Continue.
Well, I'm just saying the attention, like, I'm not saying Maryland is catastrophically bad because I think Maryland is pretty good. I just think in terms of where eyeballs are, I don't think you think Maryland when you think interesting Big Ten football at the top.
I think ACC basketball when I think Maryland, but we've been this route many times over. Continue.
Okay, so Minnesota has Michigan at home after Michigan is at Nebraska, second consecutive road game. They have Michigan State at home after Michigan State hosts Michigan.
Okay.
They are at Ohio State between Ohio State playing Michigan State and their end at Michigan. They miss Penn State, which is a knock against the gumpiness. They're at Iowa after Iowa is at Wisconsin. They open the Matt Rule era hosting Nebraska, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In week one.
Yep.
So that's eyeballs. They're at Purdue after the Boilers are at Michigan. And they host Luke Fickell's first Axe game. So Minnesota, whatever you say of their window last year to, you know, win double digit games, they're finding themselves in advantageous or interesting spots to win a bunch of games if you're a body blow theory believer.
So they're a Gumpy team for you then.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
Yeah. Do you agree or do you have another Gumpy team in the mix?
Oh, my Gumpy team's Indiana.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Indiana is the Forrest Gump of the Big Ten. And Maryland to some extent.
Tell me why.
Indiana's over-under is 3.5.
Okay.
I could see a path to 3 because they can beat Indiana State, they can beat Akron, and they can beat Rutgers.
Oh, Ty.
To hit that over, though, they've got to steal one along the way. And that's where it starts to get weird. They've got a neutral sider against Louisville. They're at Maryland. They're at Michigan. They're at Penn State. They're home against Wisconsin. They're at Illinois. They're home against Michigan State and they're at Purdue. Again, it's all relative. That sounds tough to me. It will be tough for Indiana, I guarantee. They got to steal one in order to get to 4. But situationally, listen to this. Situationally, Maryland gets Indiana a week before they play Ohio State, before Maryland plays Ohio State. Michigan gets Indiana a week before they play their rivalry game against Michigan State.
Okay.
Penn State gets Indiana a week before Penn State plays Michigan. Illinois gets them a week before Illinois plays Wisconsin. Northwestern gets them a week before they play Iowa, that Wrigley game. And then Wisconsin gets them a week after Wisconsin plays Ohio State. So it's constantly either a sandwich, a look ahead, or a letdown spot here for the Indiana Hoosiers. That's not to say that any of those situations will be ultimately advantageous, because it's Indiana football, and I kind of think things are a bit of a mess. That being said, situationally, Indiana's got it pretty good. That's why they're my Gumpy team.
But here, the only reason I would push back on your Indiana Gumpiness is while Forrest Gump does have his limitations, I think he is extremely accomplished, and he is able enough to be a little bit dangerous, right? He's running across the country. He's a war hero. He's incredible at table tennis, right? And when we
at table tennis.
Pull that out.
I like that. No, he's very good. He was doing the two paddles thing. That was very,
of course.
Very good.
Listen, speak for yourself. I could not do what the best of
No, I couldn't either.
A table.
Continue.
Also was a specialized return guy for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So I'm just saying, I think Gumpiness has to be associated with a team that's a little bit feistier.
Okay.
Unless you believe in Indiana feistiness.
I don't.
Sometimes you do.
I don't, but I...
But you believed in Texas Tech feistiness, and I think you believe in Minnesota feistiness, which is why I leaned Gumpier. I had Gumpier leanings with Minnesota.
My Gumpier leaning is not Minnesota. And if Indiana does not rise to that Gumpy level for you, let's talk about Maryland football.
Okay, let's talk about Maryland football, which we have recently.
Maryland's over-under is 7, and there are only 3 games on this thing that I feel like are surefire losses. I think they lose at Ohio State. I think they lose home against Penn State. And I think they lose home against Michigan.
Okay.
But there are some games there that are at home. So So who knows? Who knows about Penn State, Michigan? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would also add that if we want to explore the Gumpy angle here, the Michigan game is at home a week after Michigan goes to Penn State. The game against Michigan State, which we didn't mention there in the little preamble, is embedded in a stretch where Sparty plays Washington and Iowa before and after. The Penn State game is a week before the Nittany Lions host Michigan, and the games against Illinois and Nebraska are just sort of wedged in there as well. So Maryland, 7 wins over under. We weren't talking about Maryland getting to 7. We weren't talking about Maryland getting to 10. We're talking about getting to 8, which by order of things here with the over under in the schedule seems very, very doable.
Yeah. If Penn State were to go to Ohio State and win, I'd be terrified as a Penn State fan about losing to Maryland if James Franklin didn't already own Mike Locksley. That's the issue.
Yeah.
That's the issue to me. But that would feel like the place where, like, oh, Penn State's number 2 in the country, right? They just beat Ohio State. Like, is that the best win of the season? And then they go to Maryland before playing Michigan? That seems so dangerous to me. But then it's like Talia throwing into an incredible Penn State defense.
That's
the worry. But the game's at home. So maybe there's some magic in College Park this year, but maybe that's just like an early inkling to take points. As soon as Penn State beats Ohio State in that universe, take the points against Maryland on the road.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think that Maryland finds itself in some really weird spots. And weird spots for other teams, not so much for them. They're kind of set up pretty well. They've also got a Virginia Friday night game here that will, I don't know if that will be more interesting in year 2 under Tony Elliott for the Virginia Cavaliers. But this sets up well for him. If you're a Maryland fan, if you listen to the Maryland show we did a couple weeks ago, this is okay. I would take this.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Do you want to talk Nebraska?
I would actually love to. And if you could let me do the setup here, I would appreciate that.
Please, 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 please.
Here is why I beg this of you. Nebraska's over-under is 6. And I'm going to talk a little bit out of both sides of my mouth here, because for a month and a half, 2 months now, I have been saying on our show, on others, that I believe in Matt Rhule, but not yet. Not until year 2, because his first year at Temple was a disaster. His first year at Baylor was a disaster. Disaster in terms of wins and losses. That what he did in those first seasons was set up successes that were to follow.
Sure.
By the time year 3 got around, we saw the big jump and the legend of Matt Rhule continued to grow. That's how he got to the NFL. There is a lot new in Lincoln. I think that's why I've been saying it. I don't know what to expect. So do I believe in Nebraska? Ultimately, yes, under Matt Rhule. But year 1, too much new. The track record for Rhule in year 1 has not been great. But, Daniel.
Those are very specific context.
Very specific schools, context.
Though. Yeah.
Much different starting point. But
yeah,
I must say, the over-under dropped at 6.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, maybe Vegas knows something here. What do they know? What does Vegas know that I don't know? Then I look at the schedule. It is beautiful, Dan. It is America's schedule. At Minnesota, at Colorado, Northern Illinois, Louisiana Tech, Michigan at home. Great. At Illinois on a Friday before a bye. Coming back home. Northwestern, Purdue back-to-back at home. At Michigan State. Home against Maryland. At Wisconsin. Home against Iowa on a Friday for the Heroes game, Dan.
Yeah.
This thing is gorgeous. It's gorgeous. If I felt a little bit better about where Nebraska was going into 2023, I'd take the over with flying colors. I would list them at the top of my easiest schedules in the Big Ten unofficial power ranking, which I just made up. There is a path here. I say it again. Even though it's year one under Matt Rhule, there's a path to 9 wins. You have to squint to find it.
Ugh.
You have to squint to find it.
I love this. I love this Nebraska hype. Okay.
It is beautiful. Beautiful. I stand by it.
Okay. So when they lose 28-10 in week one, will you still stand by it in Minneapolis?
I will stand. Probably not.
Okay.
probably not.
That's tough. That's a tough opener. No, look, they miss Penn State and Ohio State. They get Michigan at home. You can squint and see 4-8 as well if it's going to take some time. But no, I think the schedule's fine. You get a bunch of winnable games at home. Northern Illinois, Louisiana Tech, Northwestern, Purdue, Maryland, if Nebraska's more decent and the transfers all seem to work out. Maybe Jeff Sims is incredible, whatever. Gets Nebraska there. And they have Iowa at home. I don't want to saddle a recently traditionally losing program. Zero bowl games under Scott Frost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of reason to put that on Scott Frost. They had, you know, great offensive performances, great defensive stretches. This was not a team without guys, without dudes. But sometimes takes a little time. Let's take a little time. And I just, when you saying I can squint and see 9 wins on this Nebraska schedule, I salute you like I was saluting the camera during that song.
Yeah.
But man, I think they're behind, even with the transfers.
If you squint, you have terrible eyesight. Yes,
I do. Yes.
If you squint or put your glass, you have your glasses on. If you put stronger glasses on, if you're really looking at this thing.
Yeah.
What is the maximum number of wins that you, Dan Rubenstein, can find?
1, 2, 3, 4. I can find 6.
So the Dan Rubenstein ceiling for Nebraska is 6.
So look, you getting one of the better teams on your schedule, Minnesota week one, is, it, I guess, nice, right? Because things can be wacky week one, that you really don't know what you have in your team until you see your team in week one.
One of the better teams on the schedule. Sure.
Minnesota is one of the better teams on the schedule. Yeah.
I'm not still that certain that they're good. I'm not certain that they're good.
It's Greg Harbaugh, by the way. Not Harbaugh is their coordinator. I found that out recently. Yeah.
I'm not certain that they're good. Maybe one of the better teams on the schedule. Yeah, sure, I'll give you that. But I'm not certain that they're good. If they're one of the better teams, you got to come away from this saying that Nebraska's going to pretty good spot. They could beat them. They're going to beat Colorado. Northern Illinois, Louisiana Tech, those could be wins. Not beating Michigan. Could they beat Illinois? I think they could beat
Illinois. Could they beat Illinois on the road on a Friday night? I think that's traditionally pretty tricky. But
could they beat Northwestern? Yeah. Could they beat Purdue?
Yeah, at home? Sure.
Michigan State.
I mean, Purdue's been a bowl team. And they had what we think is a decent quarterback in Hudson Card.
Could they beat Purdue at home?
They could. Sure.
Okay. So we're squinting. Could they beat Michigan State on the road?
I guess, Ty. But
could they beat Maryland at home?
I don't know.
We might be up to 13 wins now. I don't even know how many we're at here. I'm just saying.
But I'm also saying we just finished talking about how you really like Maryland. You really like Wisconsin. You see a world in which you really like Iowa. You really like Michigan. I know you don't love Minnesota like you claim to have loved them last year.
I don't love Minnesota anymore. No.
They have like the smell of a 6-6, 7-5 to me. Okay. Like if we think Matt Rhule is better than Scott Frost, perennial non-bowl coach, then in year one, he's 2 or 3 games better.
Okay. Purdue.
Yep.
Purdue's over under 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this as the toughest schedule in the Big Ten.
It's real tough.
I think this is a really tough slate for a new coach at Virginia Tech, at Iowa, at Nebraska, at Michigan, at Northwestern. They've also got Wisconsin and Ohio State on this schedule. So new regime is going to have its work cut out for them. I do not feel optimistic about hitting that over 5.5. This might be one of those ones where I'd probably lean under, because I just think it's a really tough stretch, man. Once you get to like the middle part of the season, as you like to say, the meaty middle, you've got a stretch where you're at Iowa next week, home against Ohio State. After a bye, you're on the road back-to-back weeks at Nebraska, at Michigan, Minnesota coming back home before you've got two winnable games to close this thing out. So we're going to find out a lot about Purdue in that sort of middle area. We could say this is a bit of a fettuccine Alfredo, you think?
Oh, absolutely it is. Yes, that's my team.
I ate more fettuccine Alfredo and drank less water than I have.
They're your fettuccine team, yeah.
Yeah, them and Rutgers. Rutgers has a bye before Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Maryland. So that's tough. That's tough for Rutgers. I don't know how much you want to talk Rutgers. But yes, in terms of another team and that needs to carbo load during the bye week, yes. Purdue could start 0-4. They could start 2-5. They could start 4-0. I think there's so much up in the air with Purdue with that new coach, transfer quarterback, not even like quarterback finally getting his shot, like with Minnesota and the Greek Freak. New coach, transfer quarterback. Fresno State should be tough enough. At Virginia Tech, improving. I'm not crazy about Virginia Tech in this moment. Syracuse, we'll see. That was a crazy game that came down to the end last year. That was at Syracuse. So that seems like it might be winnable if things are coming together nicely by week three. Wisconsin on a Friday night. It's a short week, but Wisconsin has Georgia Southern before that. So a little bit of a buffer, what should be a buffer for Wisconsin. Illinois at home, at Iowa, Ohio State. Every single record you could sell me on heading into the bye.
No.
Week eight bye, is that what it is? Yeah. So you want to sell me on 5-2? You want to sell me on 2-5, 3-4, 4-3, 1-6? I'm open to it, Ty. I'm open to Purdue pitches right now. Yeah. I am accepting pitches on Purdue's pre-buy schedule.
Purdue, I could go a number of different ways on Purdue, but I think, again, relatively speaking, this is probably the hardest schedule that I saw in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I don't like the way this sets up for him.
I think Rutgers might have the hardest schedule.
Well, let's go to Rutgers, okay? So
we can talk Rutgers, yeah.
So since we're talking about over-unders, they did not release an over-under for Rutgers.
That's tough.
There are no odds, literally no odds. Maybe there are now at time of recording or when people are listening to this, but at last check, there were no odds for Rutgers. Here's what they've got. Open up the year, three straight home games, Northwestern, Temple, Virginia Tech. Then they're at Michigan, home against Wagner, at Wisconsin, home against Michigan State, at Indiana before a bye. After the bye, it's home against Ohio State, at Iowa, at Penn State, Maryland to close things out. That is that's fettuccine Alfredo.
I ate more fettuccine Alfredo.
Isn't it?
I drank less water than I have in my entire life.
Yeah, there's no water and a lot of fettuccine Alfredo sitting in the tum tum there.
It's as if somebody doesn't care about Rutgers.
It's as if they're trying to get them to drop out so they can take on Oregon, Washington,
North Carolina,
Florida State. So, yeah.
Quarterback is up in the air for Rutgers. Schedule is most certainly up in the air for Rutgers. Who did they give trouble last year? They beat Boston College. They beat a very bad Temple team. They lost to Nebraska by one. They beat Indiana, shelled by Minnesota. Only lost to Michigan State, who they've had some recent success against, by 6, and then got destroyed by Penn State and Maryland to finish out the year. Nebraska's in a better place, and BC, I guess we'll see, but they don't play BC this year. Iowa should be in a better place, and they lost by 17 last year. And Indiana should be in a better place. We'll see. Mm. It just does have like a 2-10 kind of whiff to it right now.
A little bit of 2-10 notes.
Or maybe 3-9, Northwestern, Temple, Wagner, 4-8 if you beat Virginia Tech at home.
No
like
odds.
It's hard to see unless they can. Oh, man. Now I'm talking myself into 5-win Rutgers because there's Indiana right there. So, okay, Northwestern, Temple, Virginia Tech, Wagner, and Indiana or Michigan State. That gets them to 5. Yeah. I don't see them sneaking into a fake path bowl game again this year, though.
No?
No. That's a rough schedule, man. Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Maryland, with Iowa and Penn State on the road. Okie dokie.
We'll know what they are by November, frankly.
Yeah.
We'll know
who you exactly want to go to. Illinois's got a fascinating schedule. We've talked about Illinois a lot without talking about Illinois.
We've talked a lot about Illinois, just kind of ricochet shots here, but Illinois is over under 6.5. Illinois, pretty good season last year. Home against Toledo, at Kansas, Penn State at home, Florida Atlantic at home. That's their opening month. Then they're at Purdue, home against Nebraska on a Friday night, at Maryland, home against Wisconsin. After the bye to close things out, in November, at Minnesota, home against Indiana, at Iowa, home against Northwestern. So there's a little bit of the oddball syndrome that I mentioned when we did the SEC show and talked about Florida every other week, right? Kind of a tough, tougher road game for this team. This feels sneaky tough to me. It feels sneaky tough to me. And that's not to say it's a tough schedule, but I feel like it's easily overlooked. And there are some teams on here that I could see giving them trouble. I can see Illinois being in a similar spot to last season where it just felt like every game was close, you know? And 6.5 gives them some credit. I think Vegas basically is saying they're a bowl team, right? Which
Well, there's continuity too. Even with losing Ryan Walters, there's continuity with the head coach and quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a fair amount to like if you're an Illinois fan. And the way that Brett Bielema has now built them up in two seasons, year one was 5-7. Last season was, 8-5. They finished up, lost in the bowl game to Mississippi State. There's a lot to like here. And if we look at just how they played their games last season, all four of the regular season losses were by one score.
Yeah. But those are games also in which Illinois played ugly football and to kind of deserve to lose. Like the Michigan State game was one of the uglier games. I think it was swirling winds too, but it was a bad watch. Yeah,
absolutely brutal. So all I'm saying is I could see this being tougher than meets the eye, but provided there aren't any kind of, position groups that bottom out for Brett Bielema, I would expect them to get back to bowl eligibility with this.
It's tough after the bye week, Minnesota, Indiana, Iowa. Well, actually, it's not that tough. But going into that stretch of having what might be a difficult Purdue, Ryan Walters is very familiar with Illinois.
No.
Nebraska on a Friday night at home, though, at Maryland and Wisconsin. If Illinois picks up where they left off and they are more assured and more comfortable playing for Brett Bielema and guys are developing more, guys who are rotation guys coming in more, I don't like where they are at quarterback. I don't think the defense can replicate where they were last year with so many sort of offenses in dire places last year. But I think they can get to a bowl game. They've got Penn State at an advantageous place, right? It's a week before Penn State plays Iowa.
Yeah.
And it's in Champaign. So, no. Would you say the over-under was 6?
6.5.
I'd be inclined to take the over for Illinois.
I'm fascinated by week two at Kansas.
I think to me might be what gets them to 7 wins or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Kansas game will be fascinating because if nothing more, it's a game of wildly contrasting styles.
Sure.
Kansas is all offense, nary any defense last season. Mm-hmm. And I think Illinois was very, very much driven by its defense. And, provided Kansas improves a little bit on the defensive side and Illinois improves a little bit on the offensive side, we could be in for a hell of a game. But two contrasting styles, as we like to say on the show, styles make fights. Styles will make a fight in week two. That could be a fun game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Brett Bielema is a real coach.
Yep.
And we don't know who Illinois has in terms of real coaches at these places right now. So we'll see.
I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I agree with you. I think he's doing a good job. A good job. Michigan State. We have not mentioned Sparty here.
Yeah.
Oof. The over-under is 5.5 for Michigan State. Given where I think Michigan State is at right now, I think this is a tough schedule for them. Would you agree with that?
I think so.
At Iowa, at Ohio State, home against Washington, home against Michigan, home against Penn State. Who knows what November Nebraska will look like in week 10? I could see Nebraska being pluckier by then than maybe they will be early on until they get things figured out. But November aside, Dan, this is a tough slate. This is a tough slate for a Michigan State team that feels like it's very much in flux. Feels like, again, there's a lot of new. We saw Peyton Thorne, Keon Coleman, those transfers. That hurts the offense. The offense was already somewhat inconsistent. I would not want to touch this over. And I think there's a chance that we could see sort of an early implosion here. I think by the time they get to their bye week in week six, we could be looking at a team that lost to Washington, that lost to Iowa, that perhaps lost to Maryland, even though that game's at home. And they still have a pretty good meaty portion of their schedule to follow with games against Michigan, with games against Ohio State and Penn State.
Yeah, the vibes don't seem great coming out of East Lansing at the moment, with Peyton Thorne leaving, Keon Coleman leaving, without it being like, oh, it's clear that Noah Kim is better than Peyton Thorne or Kattenhauser or whoever is the guy. And so that battle is going to go into the fall. And look, I don't love Washington in this spot because I think the stadium will be electric for that matchup, because it's just Washington could come in as like the number 7 team, 9 team, whatever in the country at that point. I think Washington has Boise State to open up the season. So I don't know. Weird things happen with Pac-12 powers and Boise State, I suppose. But Michigan State plays, again, correct me here, You're my point of accuracy here. Does Michigan State play two home games between week 4 and week 13?
Between week 4 and week 13, they've got a home game against Michigan and a home game against Nebraska.
Yeah, that's it.
They close out the year at home against Penn State for the pseudo rivalry. But yeah, it's sort of a fettuccine Alfredo situation, just with being on the road so much.
There's so much, like, for a team that's in this much flux, they don't know where they are at quarterback. The offense was a nightmare last year. The defense was a nightmare last year. The offensive line was beat up. Like, everything kind of went wrong last year. They kind of got it together a little bit as they got healthier throughout the season. There were guys on defense especially that seemed to pop. But really, being away from home this much early on, like, I don't know how much Central Michigan and Richmond are going to prepare you for Washington. I'm down at the moment. I'm willing to buy in if one of those quarterbacks works out. And it was a quarterback issue and it was a health issue last year. And there are if Michigan State is fine, if they're not great, if they're not going to threaten double digit wins, but if they're fine, there's a lot of teams on this schedule that could break the other way.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know what Nebraska is going to be. We don't know what Indiana is going to be. You're down on Minnesota. I happen to think Minnesota is going to be fine. Rutgers looks like a nightmare bad. Like, you could see them cobbling together bowl eligibility, but I think a lot rides on quarterback. This is the most obvious way to evaluate this. But yeah, that road stretch, I am fully out on.
Let's close things out with Northwestern, Dan. I think we've hit every other team here.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten. We saved the best for last. Northwestern.
Always.
Northwestern, Northwestern, Northwestern. You are the native son of the Chicagoland area. Northwestern last season, Dan, was 1-11. That one big win came in Ireland. They won exactly zero games in the contiguous United States.
Yeah, no domestic W's.
No domestic dubs for N-Dub. Looking at the slate this year, here is what we've got. We've got an opening road tilt at Rutgers, okay? Opening road tilt at Rutgers. Home against UTEP, on the road at Duke. Then home against Minnesota, Penn State, and Howard after the bye, at Nebraska, Maryland, Iowa both at home, at Wisconsin, home against Purdue, at Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a relative measure, any schedule we put in front of Northwestern is probably going to look difficult. This
challenging.
This looks hard. What was your reaction to seeing this? 3.5, the over-under. So Vegas expecting a bit of an improvement.
If this were, and look, Ben Bryant certainly improves things at quarterback, which has been an issue for Northwestern the past couple of years. If we were talking about a Northwestern team coached on defense by Mike Hankwitz and we knew we were getting the type of, like, not great, but okay performance. It was Peyton Ramsey who transferred from Indiana
two years ago.
If that were the situation, if we were guaranteed that situation where they'd have like an NFL offensive lineman or two and good players, legit good players on defense coached by one of the best and most underrated defensive coordinators of the last 15 years in Mike Hankwitz, they're gliding to 9-3 this year, right?
Yeah.
With this schedule specifically.
Yeah.
Gliding. The home road splits are okay. They miss, who do they miss? They miss Michigan and Ohio State.
Yep.
It's a wonderful schedule to be your typical up year Northwestern.
Right.
I just don't know if that's the reality in which we live, and I don't know if we're getting back to that point. So, yes, they can beat Rutgers. They can beat UTEP. At Duke, I mean, they lost that game last year at home. So that's tough. That's 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, maybe 3-3, 3-4, 3-5, 3-6.
You can always tell.
3-7. When you get to your first wins.
Your first sigh.
I think they can win four games. I think they can improve from 1-11 to 4-8.
Okay. Well, you got to start somewhere. I mean, I'm not actively rooting against Northwestern. It's just been pretty bad, and last season was a disaster.
I think Ben Bryant's a real quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a great starting point.
He is.
So, but again, gliding to 9.
Glide. Okay. That does it. Big Ten schedule preview 2023. Write in. Let us know your thoughts. SolidVerbal@gmail.com is the plain old fashioned email. Reach out on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, where have you. Let us know what your thoughts are on these schedules. Also, we'll post clips out to YouTube as well as full episodes. You can go out there and give a watch, give a listen, Dan. Next up, we've got the Pac-12. Coming up. So I'm going to be leaning on you pretty hard here to give us context.
That's fine.
We've got, of course, the Pac-12 media rights, the wins swirling about what happens to the conference, and I don't think that really has much of an effect on the on-field product, at least not for the kids and coaches who are going to be putting on the uniforms and going out there this fall, but getting awfully big in the window. We will cover that as we need to, but at time of recording, still waiting for official word as to where the media thing heads. But Pac-12, we will talk about Pac-12 on the next episode.
Great.
We've got, I believe, ACC coming after that before we get to Group of Five.
And Big 12. We'll throw the Big 12 a bone and review their schedule as well.
Forgot about the Big 12. How about
No, you're good. They're an even more fascinating
Love conference, the Big
just
12.
With all the new teams coming in. Yeah.
Love the Big 12. All right, Dan. Always fun. Make sure you go on out to verballers.com, verballers.com. That's the Patreon. That's where you can support the show. Hit follow, hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. Follow along on social media. And if you have yet to do so, go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. When the little window pops up, give us your email. We will send you a note every Thursday, keep you up to speed with what's going on around the world of college football.
Done.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thanks for downloading, listening, and of course, as always, supporting the show. We will talk to y'all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.